This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 46, verses 28 through 30, and chapter 47, verses 28 through 30. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Jacob lived in Egypt for 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, If I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do as you say, he said.
Confusion, and she said, "Then who's that bald guy that lives with us now?" It's like Rodney Dangerfield said, you know, you just don't get any respect. Today is Father's Day, when we focus on honoring our fathers. For some of us, that's easy to do. We've lived with a father that has been the kind of man that's been easy to honor for as long as we've known him. But for others of us, it's a challenge to honor our fathers. Some fathers have been abusive or had addiction problems. Some have had a problem of being absent, or maybe they've been preoccupied with work or with hobbies. And yet others have been just emotionally withdrawn. It may have been difficult to honor them in the past because of the kinds of fathers that they were. And it may still be difficult to honor them all these years later. My father and I began having a strained relationship when I was 12 years old. It grew worse when I turned 15, and it didn't improve until I was about 20. He and I had a hard time communicating. We loved each other, but we also frustrated each other. So for 5 years, I talked to my father only when it was absolutely necessary. It was a painful time for both of us. It took me many years to realize that in my withdrawal from my father, I had dishonored him. Giving his law to the Israelites, God required that children honor and respect their parents, both mother and father. Parents were dishonored not only if their children attacked or cursed them, but also if their children disobeyed them. So serious was this dishonor of parents that children who were guilty of any of these things were to be stoned to death by the men of the community. Why? God put it very simply and briefly. God said, "You must purge this evil from among you." So any fashion of dishonoring parents was considered to be evil, and it affected not just that immediate family, but the community as a whole. It had to be purged or removed, cut out like a cancer from the community. But there are other ways to dishonor our parents, and let me offer just a few of them that come up in Proverbs. From Proverbs 19 and verse 26, it says, "He who robs his father and drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace." So this is an adult child who takes advantage of his parents to his financial gain. This kind of person has no sense of concern and honor about anyone, including himself. In Proverbs 28 and verse 7, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. This is an adult child who has either learned godly discretion from his parents or has ignored the values of godly discretion in his life as a whole. And then Proverbs 29, verse 3. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but a companion of prostitutes squanders his wealth. This is an adult child who either chooses to pursue wisdom from God or who chooses to carelessly pursue his own lusts. Now, you and I might not feel like we fit into any of those categories. We might even say, God help us if we do. Truly, God help us if we do. But it does raise up the idea that there are many ways for us to dishonor our parents. Every time Jesus was asked about pleasing God, he always included honoring parents. Children in Christian homes were also required to honor their parents. But why is honoring parents important on a personal basis? When we honor our parents, we affirm their efforts as parents. Honoring them assures them of our love for them despite the mistakes that they've made and maybe are still making as parents. Honoring our parents builds their confidence in having done at least some things right. I think every parent has felt like that. They know about their shortcomings. They grieve their shortcomings as a parent. But they hope in their heart of hearts that they've done something right, and it would be nice to have their kids affirm that. And you know, as we do all of this honoring of our parents in whatever ways it comes about, our parents in turn try harder to be worthy of the honor we give them, no matter what age they are. As their children, we need to honor our parents. It causes us to think about what is honorable. You know, if we don't have something as a trigger to cause us to stop and think about honoring our parents, we may not think about the idea of honor very much at all. We look for honorable traits in others, and we find honor in our parents as we think about this whole business of honor. We learn how to honor others as well in the process of that. As we see reason to honor others, especially our parents, we grow in the way that we think about other people. We look at other people in terms of, are they living an honorable or dishonorable life as a whole? And even if they are living a generally dishonorable life, is there something within them that is honorable and that we can give them honor for? And so in the process of all of this, honor, the whole idea of honor, becomes important to us. And it affects the way we think about ourselves and about the way we live. Ted Donaldson tells a story that was a life-changing experience for him. He says, many years ago, I was dating a girl in my hometown of Adamsville, Tennessee. Her father and mine had been classmates in high school. One Saturday night, as I was picking up Becky, her father asked me how my father was doing. Well, as a 21-year-old, I made some smart-aleck remark. I'd always been embarrassed about my father's humble job because I knew he could do better. Becky's father was the most successful man in our town. And that night, her father told me a story that gave me a whole new understanding of my father. He told me that my father and his twin brother were so small when they were born that the doctors didn't expect them to live. But they did live. As soldiers in World War II, they were captured and placed together in a German POW camp. My father's brother lost so much weight it looked like he might die. So my father got down on his knees and asked God to spare him and his brother. He said that if they could go back to Adamsville alive, he would never ask God for anything ever again and would accept whatever God gave him. I was hearing this story 30 years later, and suddenly everything clicked. My parents were deeply religious people, and my father had more friends than anyone I knew. His word was good with everyone in town, and he was the happiest ex-POW I had ever heard about or seen. He had accepted the first job he was offered upon his return from the war, and it was a job in a garment factory. It wasn't a glamorous job, and it didn't pay well, just minimum wage plus overtime. He had made a pact with God, and as far as he was concerned, God had kept his part of the bargain. Becky's father told me, "When we were young, everyone thought your father would be a senator or a governor because of his personality. We thought he might be a great businessman like your grandfather. But that was before we knew that he had made a promise to God. I respect your father more than any man I have ever met because he chose the high road and he kept his word forever. Not many people can do that, son. You have a dad that anyone would be proud of." And so Ted says, "From that day on, I felt privileged just to know that man, my father." There's a lot of things that we may not know about our fathers or our mothers, for that matter. Things that have shaped them. Things that have caused them to become the kind of person and make the kinds of decisions and choices that they've made. But we don't have to know those backstories in order to respect them. We don't have to understand those things. We have to understand who they are and what role they've taken on. I learned how to honor my father as I matured. As I learned why my father thought the way he did, I came to respect him. I learned that the things that had driven us apart were from his love of me and from my lack of understanding of him. I learned I could respect him even though there will probably be things that we would never end up agreeing about. I learned that I needed to forgive him for being an imperfect father. I learned that I needed to show him respect by honoring him both verbally as well as through my actions. I learned that each little bit of honor that I gave him meant a great deal to him. I learned that if I lived my life honorably, he was proud of me, and in turn, he felt honored to be my father. I learned that I honored him by choosing to have a warm, close relationship with him in adulthood, because it was a choice that I had made. Looking further for God's wisdom, I found ways to honor my father. For example, in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, where it says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." And that single sentence drove me to want to become wiser in every way that I lived. And I was acutely aware of how unwisely I was living in several ways in my life. And then Proverbs chapter 23 and verses 22 through 25 directed me to a specific lifestyle for all of its benefits. There the writer says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." One of the most important reasons for honoring our parents, and especially our fathers today, is that it teaches us how to honor our Father in heaven, God. In Isaiah 29 and verse 13, God said of his people Israel, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." That's a cautionary tone for you and I. Not just for today, obviously, but for every day. How do we go about honoring our parents, and most of all, our parent God in heaven? Is it just with our lips and our mouth, or is it with our heart? What God speaks about here when he makes this statement about his people Israel says that their honor of him was in fact dishonor, because it was just mouthing words. It was not from their hearts. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7 is a treatise on how God is dishonored by his children versus how he should be honored by them. They dishonored Father God by turning what he intended to be a loving relationship into an impossible-to-live religion that was centered on them. God is honored when we center our lives on him. We honor Father God by considering his care for us. Such things are reminders that come up like in Luke chapter 11 and verses 11 through 13, where it says, as Jesus speaks, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Jesus is saying, of all the gifts that you could give, of all the things to bless your children, of all the things that are good without end and without limitation, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift, and only God can give that. And because he loves you and cares about you, he will, because you're his children. God is honored by our kindness to the needy. He's honored when we make some kind of sacrifice, a true sacrifice, for his sake. Father God is honored when we keep our bodies sexually pure because we realize that God's Holy Spirit lives in our bodies. We learn to honor God by noticing in the Bible how he respects human beings. Have you ever thought about that? We talk about honoring and glorifying and praising God, and yet the reality is God honors us. He gives us free will. He allows us to make whatever choices we want, however good or bad that they may be. As we see how God conducts himself and how he wants us to conduct ourselves as his children, we can only grow in respect for him, can't we? Our respect grows as we think about his great love, his great long-suffering, his forgiveness, and his incomparable sacrifice of his son for us, as Brent mentioned at the table earlier. Jesus' honor of Father God really is our model. He constantly submitted to his Father's will. He entrusted himself in every way, really his life, to his Father God. He glorified Father God as the source of everything that he did and everything that he taught. He intentionally focused his life, the entirety of his life, on glorifying his Father. That is honoring Father. I pray that we all deepen our honor of our parents. And today especially, I pray that we deepen our honor of our earthly fathers, but that we keep well in mind that this is our model for honoring our Father God. Do you need to deepen your honor of Father God? Are you ready to center your life on him as a means of not only glorifying him, but of honoring him? If that's your desire, if you're ready to take that step, then we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.